is your heritage this morning? Is your heritage just plain and simply South African, or is your heritage different? We had a chat with Nyagala Tefu. She was telling us exactly she speaks five languages. And I'm just looking at the screen. It says indigenous languages are under threat. Mother tongue. Do you still teach mother tongue? If you're Portuguese, do you still teach your children to speak Portuguese? If you're Brazilian, do you teach your children? I know the Germans are very strong in this and teaching their children mother tongue. Chinese people, as a matter of fact, wherever you go, I was in store yesterday and a number of Chinese people were there, and the Chinese people were speaking Chinese to each other. And this is just the problem, is that, you know, we tend to forget our mother tongue, and we tend to forget. I speak Gujarati, but none of my children do. It is just unfortunate that there was never an opportunity to teach them their mother tongue. But they do know a certain number of words and how to greet and how to say goodbye and things like that. And how much of a part does your cooking and your recipes and things, how much of a big part of that forms, you know, your sort of identity? And talking about identity, we're going to chat about the practice of lobola, which is an intrinsic part of getting married for many South Africans. But is it a tradition or a legal process? A legal marriage protects your rights, particularly your property rights. And if the marriage fails, says John Manyike, the head of financial education at Old Mutual, that's why it's important for South Africans to know the relationship between lobola and a legal marriage. Now, lobola in itself is not marriage, but rather a part of the process of getting married under customary law. We chat right now to the head of financial education at Old Mutual, John Manyike. John, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show. Happy Heritage Day.
Good morning and happy Heritage Day to you too.
John, what are the issues with lobola and customary marriages in a South African legal context?
Yeah, I think there's a confusion, or call it assumption, that once couples have actually paid lobola, that they've actually concluded a customary law marriage, and in effect, thinking that they now are part of a joint estate and have a share in the assets of liabilities of the joint estate, which unfortunately, you know, the law has a completely different position as far as the legal implications of lobola itself.
John, maybe just for the sort of purpose of listeners out there, why is lobola paid, and what, how much can it be? Which is, you know, does it differ from one particular section to the other section of South Africa, or is it the same sort of? And how is it given? Is it given in cows and sheep, and or can it also be given in other ways in terms of land and stuff like that?
Yeah, so lobola is part of our heritage. It's part of our tradition, you know. And historically, this is an act of exchanging the bride price. So the families agree on what the bride price is, which the groom's family would pay over. The groom's family would pay over to the bride's family. But I think it's important also to understand that back in those days, cattle were the primary a source of wealth and the primary medium of exchange. So, but in recent times, you know, to make things more practical, because people don't keep cattle, especially who live in suburbs and townships. So they have come up with what they call an equivalent of a head of a cow,
yeah.
And which is acceptable. And I won't be surprised in the future if our children start paying lobola via EFT, but whichever way you pay your lobola. But the reality is that it is the practice of exchanging the bride price, which is set by the bride's family. But the point is that on its own, the payment of lobola does not amount to a customary law marriage. That is according to the recognition of the Customary Marriages Act. So the law is very clear on what are the legal steps that need to be followed for a customary marriage to be concluded.
And I was just going to ask you the question about millennials, because the thing is with millennials, you know, some millennials are so far removed from tradition, and they grew up in a city, and they don't have the sort of that contact with the rural environment and that exposure to the rural environment. And they, you said, they'll pay their lobola in terms of EFT pretty soon. What are the important things to remember when getting married under customary law? If somebody's going to get married and within the next month or two. What must they remember about customary law?
Okay, so Section 3 of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act stipulates that for a customary marriage to be concluded legally, these are the following legal requirements. The first one is the prospective spouses must be above the age of 18, again, which is quite a variation because traditionally, you know, in African customs, I mean, the age was not a big factor, but the law is very clear that, you know, you must be at least 18 years or older. That's the first thing. Secondly, it does stipulate that there must be a lobola negotiation. There must be a conclusion of a lobola negotiation. And then thirdly, which is particularly one of the most important part of the process, which a lot of couples don't follow through, is this actual celebration. So in other words, if you paid lobola and there is no celebration of that marriage, and celebration may differ from one custom to the next, you know, depending whether you're a Zulu or a Sotho or Ndebele or whatever the case may be, but that celebration includes things like the handing over of the bride. So the bride, or what they call makoti, must be welcomed. There must be celebration in terms of also the exchanging of gifts and blankets. So without that celebration taking place, you may have a challenge at a later stage if there's a dispute on whether you are legally married or not. Of course, it is advisable to register the marriage with Home Affairs, but non-registration of the customary law marriage does not necessarily render the marriage invalid, but it does assist you if you have a legal document, because it will enable you to enforce your legal rights in the event that there's a dispute, either when there's death of one of the partners to that relationship, or if there is there's a dissolution of the relationship.
One of the important things that sort of caught my mind is that there's a difference between, is there a difference, and this is what I want to ask, is there a difference between lobola and a dowry? Because a dowry basically goes directly to the lady, whereas lobola probably in some instances goes to the family. So is there a big difference between the two?
Well, it symbolically it is the same thing, but of course, for example, in certain cultures, when you pay the dowry, it is the bride's family, you know, handing over to the groom's family. When under normal circumstances, lobola is actually the groom's family paying the lobola over to the bride's family. But either way, there's an exchange of some kind of a bride price, you know, whether it comes from this family to the other family or vice versa, but the principle is similar.
Mm. I have a colleague of mine working with me, and she says, well, he hasn't paid half of his lobola, so is that still a legal marriage if you've got lobola outstanding?
Yeah, so generally speaking, you know, if the celebration usually takes place after lobola negotiations have been concluded. And if you've not concluded the lobola negotiation, but traditionally, the families will not allow for the celebration or the handing. They cannot hand over the bride without having received the lobola in full. So it becomes a challenge, and it could be a technical issue at the later stage when that party says, no, but we are legally married because we've been staying together for 10 years and I've paid lobola. But if that marriage is put into the test, the validity is put to the legal test, you might find that there's some shortcomings, and I don't think anybody would want to take that kind of a risk.
Chatting this morning to the head of financial education at Old Mutual, John Manyeke, and John joins us chatting about lobola, which basically is part of our heritage and intrinsic part of getting married for many South Africans. But we're looking at the traditional process and the legal process, and one of the important things that John has mentioned is the fact that you need to actually have that customary marriage of yours. You need to have it registered with Home Affairs, which is one of the important steps going forward. If somebody is married in terms of customary law but has not registered that marriage in terms of, Home Affairs, in terms of a will and a legal battle, where would this whole situation sit?
Yeah, so firstly, it is essential to register it with Home Affairs, but as indicated earlier, but it does not render it invalid. But again, when there's a will, You know, then the equation changes slightly in a sense that it is the person in the will declaring what their wishes are in terms of how they want their assets to be distributed and to which beneficiaries. In which case, whether there's a legal marriage or not, will dictate who needs to get what. So in instances where people dispute will and so on, but at the end of the day, it is that particular individual who is deciding on how they want their assets to be distributed. So it becomes a slightly different argument altogether. Whereas if it's a case where a person dies without a will, and you've got one of the spouses to a customary marriage, yeah, who fighting for their legal rights, And let's say for argument's sake, the spouse to that customary marriage has decided to move on to marry another, and then that person dies, and then the surviving spouse is trying to enforce their legal rights. This is where the issues becomes very complex, because then you're going to have to prove that you actually legally married, and so on. And if you find that you have not fulfilled those legal requirements, unfortunately, you're going to have some very serious difficulties trying to prove that you are legally married. And this, and the children end up being the victims, because then while these legal arguments about, you know, whether the person is legally married and so on, I mean, they need to continue to live. I mean, they need to go to school and so on. So it creates a dilemma. And around how we look after those children.
Yeah, so it's actually advisable, totally advisable, to actually go and get it registered. Just one question, very, very quickly. Somebody asking, do you get your cows back if you get divorced?
Unfortunately, no. There's no refund.
No refund.
You've already entered the call there, you know, so... Yeah, no, unfortunately, that there's no practice where people get a refund over long while.
Okay, chatting this morning to John Manyike, Head of Financial Education at Old Mutual. John, very, very good morning to you. And, of course, a happy Heritage Day. Have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
John Manyike chatting to us about Lobola and about legality in terms of Lobola, because obviously Lobola gets registered and your traditional marriage gets registered, and where Lobola happens. And Yusuf from Paul, no, you don't get a refund for your cows. Coming up.